Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And in today's episode, I'm going to talk to you all about your lungs. Now, if you're on YouTube, please hit subscribe. If you're on the social media channels, do please like and share so that we can get the messages out there. Now, the lungs are part of a sort of series I'm going to do about the five key organs. And we're starting today because it's springtime at the moment and there's lots of sort of lung-related things going on at the moment, because what happens in the springtime is we start to get outside more, the pollen goes up, so all people with irritations and lung situations tends to get exacerbated at this time of year. We tend to get lung-related illnesses like hay fever. And also, another key factor, which is something which I've noticed since I've been back in London a lot more, is that obviously air quality becomes a bit of a thing. So this basically is part of a series on the five key organs, which I'm going to do. But we're starting with the lungs because really everything starts with the lungs, to be honest with you, because the lungs are the governor of the body. And the lungs are very much impacted by air quality. And air quality is something that we need to pay attention to. The UK standard of air quality is sitting below the World Health Organization. So we're not yet quite up to speed, perhaps not as bad as other countries, but we're certainly not as good as some as well. So the thing is, we need to make sure that we're taking matters into our own hands, because there's limitations on what control we've got with the air around us. So let's talk about our lungs. Let's talk about what they do in terms of Chinese medicine. And let's talk about the greater remit of our lungs and how we can support them. So obviously, from a Western perspective, the lungs are all to do with the respiratory system. And this isn't really the podcast to explain what that's all about, because that's a kind of standard one that we've learned at school. We have to breathe, and breathing is fundamental to life. And the lungs are responsible for that. But the thing that you might not know is that the lungs in Chinese medicine have a broader remit. In fact, all of the five key organs, which are the lungs, the spleen, the kidneys, the liver and the heart, all have broader remits in Chinese medicine, and it allows us to then translate that into self-care. Because the minute you appreciate that the organs have got more that they do than what we initially thought, then we can start to look after them in a slightly different way and therefore look after ourselves. So the thing about the lungs is, yes, respiratory system. And the lungs are the first organ that has the relationship with the outside world. It's the thing that you do the most of. You are breathing in and out more than any other thing that you're doing in your body. Okay, so your lungs are breathing in and out and relating to the exterior thousands and thousands of times a day. And your lungs are always in the process of either breathing in or breathing out. Okay, now, the other thing in Chinese medicine is that the lungs are called the governor of the body because they govern. Because the thing about the lungs is that the lungs actually dictate the heart rate if you consciously breathe. Now, this is really useful information because the heart is the commander of the body. Okay, so the heart receives the command from the heavens and commands the infrastructure of your body as well. And it is ultimately, as the commander, in charge. Right, but the lungs govern that. And depending on how fast or slow or shallowly or profoundly you breathe has a direct impact on how the heart beats. Now, that's a useful thing to know, because when we're getting stressed, which is very common because we're living in a very stressful age, what then happens is the heart rate increases due to the stress response. But if we apply conscious breathing into that equation, we can slow the heart rate down. So just do a conscious breath with me now. For those of you who are familiar with my podcast, it's the standard breath I talk about all the time. There are thousands of others, but we always like to start simply. Simply breathe in. Linger at the top of the breath. Breathe out. Linger at the bottom of the breath. A couple more times. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Now, what you should notice after three beautiful, deep conscious breaths is that the body has gone into a slightly calmer state. And in so doing, the heart rate starts to go down. And therefore, the heart rate can be controlled by the conscious breath. Now, there's a whole load of information about that, which we don't need to specifically go into now because today's episode is an overview. But the first thing to understand is that the difference between conscious breathing and subconscious breathing makes a massive difference to the health of the body. Now, having understood that you can start to control what the lungs are doing, you can then start to have a think about what does this do in relationship to everything else? Well, one of the first things to understand is that it has a relationship to the heart rate. Well, that's also super important. But the other useful thing is that in Chinese medicine, the lungs are paired with the large intestine. Now, this is quite interesting because the idea is that the lungs are very much to do with what gets to stay and what gets to go. And as I said earlier, the lungs are making that decision thousands and thousands of times a day. Every single time you take in a breath, the lungs are making a myriad of instantaneous decisions about what's coming in and what's going to go straight back out again. Now, that is happening in, out, all day long. In the meantime, the very movement of the diaphragm, which is the muscle which is controlling the depth of your breath, which can be either conscious or subconscious, depending on what's going on at that moment, is also in charge of peristalsis. Now, peristalsis is the squeezing mechanism of the digestive tract. Now, the large intestine is the very last bit of the digestive tract. So that also has a relationship with the very last bit of that decision-making cycle of what gets to stay and what gets to go. Because at the very, very end of the digestive process, the last bits of nutrition coming out of the food gets absorbed through the digestive tract of the canal of the large intestine. So the very last bits of usefulness goes through the large intestine into the bloodstream. Okay, in it goes. And then all of the waste products get squeezed out through the bowel movement. And that whole thing is controlled by peristalsis, which is the squeezing mechanism. And that whole thing is controlled by the movement of your diaphragm. And the movement of the diaphragm is controlled by what's going on in your life. So if you're stressed all day and you're just shallow breathing and not paying attention, that diaphragm isn't going to be moving very much in or out. And therefore peristalsis, or the squeezing mechanism, isn't really going to be moving much in or out either. OK, but if you start to add in deep diaphragmatic breathing as a general everyday practice, you are immediately extending and contracting the diaphragm, and therefore you're improving the health of the lungs and the large intestine and giving everything the opportunity to slow down and become more profound. So the first health technique that I can offer you for the support of your lungs is the standard one that I give you all the time on this podcast, which is to download Mindfulness Bell. OK, and allow yourself to hear that gong multiple times a day, either every hour or all the way to every 15 minutes. And if you don't wish to download an app, you don't want that gonging at you, then you need to attach this to something that you do regularly as a reminder. OK, and that, in my opinion, would be every time you pick up your device, because we're all on our devices all the time. So pick up your device and immediately start doing slow breathing. Or download the app that's going to remind you to do it. But either way, please, please, please be reminded to do it, because if you don't get reminded, you tend to forget because it's so simple. So it's just a question of making the habit. Now, with that beautiful breath, you're now moving your diaphragm and you are facilitating the body's ability to let go. Now, this is another key aspect of lung and its pair large intestinal health, the ability to let go, whether it's of physical material or metaphysical material, whether that's emotions, whether that's circumstances, whether that's things that have upset you in life. But if we don't let go of them, according to Chinese wisdom, these things tend to get stored inside the body. So all of this sort of negativity that's happened to us, all the pain that we've been through in life, all of the suffering gets stuck kind of in these intercostal muscles and also gets absorbed into the kind of musculoskeletal system of the body and sits there at cellular level, clogging us up. It's just like pollution to the body. And the thing about the lungs and the large intestine is that they are very much connected in the ability to let go. And if they're compromised or overwhelmed, what tends to happen is we don't let go. And therefore we exacerbate this underlying issue. And it's not good for us. So that means as we're going through the course of our lifetime, remember in the olden days, you tended to die. Now, in the turn of the 20th century, the average life expectancy was roughly 40 in the UK. The average life expectancy now is roughly 80, not absolutely, but give or take, roughly 80. So it's doubled in the last century. OK, so that means that if we were compromised with all these issues in the olden days, you were likely to be dead anyway, so it wouldn't really build up and become an issue. But one of the most important aspects of owning your health and 21st century healthcare is this concept of longevity, that we are expected to live until we're about 80. And that's the average. I would say that many, if you are really looking after your health properly and you're doing things correctly, the average life expectancy during the course of this century will increase. And it's not just about how long you live being the measure of health. The 21st century is not about just length of life. It's about health and length of life, OK? We want quality and quantity. So you want quality of life. You don't want to be ill for the last quarter of your life, because you only need to look at an ageing population that hasn't looked after their health necessarily as well. And it's not always a pretty sight. It's not something that we really want to aspire to. We want to make things better. And that's what we need to do. So allowing the body to get clogged up with a lifetime of suffering is not a good idea. So what we need to do is clear it out. And we need to work with the mechanisms of the lungs to really, really support ourselves with clearing away and supporting the lungs in their mechanism of letting go. Because if we don't, we're going to get clogged up. And then you're going to start to see signs and symptoms of the energy of the lungs becoming deficient. Now, these tend to be looking a pale colour, breaking into sweats easily, and the lack of desire to speak. I was just laughing at myself then, thinking, clearly, I don't have any lung problems. I have loads of desire to talk all the time. But actually, talking to patients who do have lung issues, or for example, when I had COVID and my lungs were impacted, you don't want to speak as much as people who've got healthy lungs, because it's tiring on the body. And you kind of think, I don't know if I can be bothered. And sometimes even the thought of breathing, when you start to think about it, feels a little bit overwhelming. So the other thing, when you have weak lungs, tends to be a weak voice, daytime sweating, low immunity, dry or loose stools, and poor skin conditions. Okay, then obviously then you can go into the myriad of more significant health issues, which are the sorts of things that you would be immediately off to your doctor with. Okay, so for example, asthma or bronchitis or any kind of pulmonary issues. But we don't really address those over here. We're dealing with the kind of low level signs and symptoms and the soft end, okay, the prevention bit over here. So really we want to feel also about the emotional, also we need to take into account the emotional aspect of things such as sadness, detachment, low self-esteem, high self-judgment, and weak boundaries. These are also, from a Chinese perspective, examples of lung issues kind of creeping in at the soft end of healthcare. And these are things that will also start to present themselves if, as we go through our life, we do not address the basic three-tiered approach to owning your health and being healthy, which is the free flow of circulation, purging and nourishing, and strengthening the five key organs. If we don't do that, OK, we are going to end up suffering as we go further down the line. Eventually, you have to pay the piper. OK, and these are the kinds of things that we will start to see if we don't keep the body's systems working well. So what do we do, therefore, to support ourselves? Well, one of the first things is the breathing technique, which I've just shown you. Just doing conscious breathing alone, which is why it's the very root of my three-step plan. That conscious breath work is the very root, followed by shaking, tapping and drumming, okay, and twisting the body, which I also talk about at the basic level, is also at the root. This is like brushing and flossing your teeth, okay? By doing those basic things correctly and daily, you're going to support every single system of the body. But then we need to go into the health of the lungs specifically. So the next thing is we need to make sure that we are really supporting the air quality that's going in and out of your body. Now, there are limitations to that, especially if you're living in an urban situation, because we can't control the fact that there's nuclear tests going on and there's pollution being spewed out into the atmosphere and that there's not much we can do about it until governments absolutely insist that we can't do it. In the meantime, we're breathing that air as they're chopping down the trees and all the rest of it. But there are things that we can do. Houseplants are extremely useful. I talk about that in my book. Okay, there are five key houseplants, which I will get the team to put in the little thing below, which will go bam, bam, bam underneath so you can see what they are. They were all NASA approved and I've used them in my book, okay, as a really, really useful technique. If you don't have room for houseplants, the thing that I talk about all the time is the Briv. It's the air purifying filter system, which saturates your immediate air with the equivalent of 3,000 plants. And it's a small little compact device. And it also has a particular ability to pull out all of the, like, the big toxins in the atmosphere, giving you really good quality air. Okay, that's another really useful thing to have. And the Himalayan salt pipe. The Himalayan salt pipe basically introduces something called halotherapy into your practice, which is incredibly good for the lungs and incredibly good for the body, and is a general, very, very simple self-care practice, which only takes a couple of minutes a day and is fantastic for everything. And mine lives by the side of my bed, okay, just to make sure that I do it last thing at night and first thing in the morning. So those are some really, really simple basic things. Next up, walking in nature. OK, not always possible for everybody in urban environments, but I am much more in London now than I used to be before. And I'm maxing out our parks. OK, I am maxing out all of the wonderful parks that we have. And most of the cities have parks. I can't think of any exceptions. If there are any exceptions, let me know. But most cities, as far as I'm aware, have parks. Now, a few other things, though. Is Qigong is also fantastic for improving lung health. Qigong means life force practice, and it's a combination of deep breathing and stretching, but stretching in the correct way to get this all-important air moving into all of the channels of the body and strengthening you up as a result. So with that, that is a very good lesson all about your lungs, why they're so important, the extra bits about them that you didn't probably know, and some really simple ways to safeguard and protect them. If you have any questions, do please leave them in the comments below, or you can simply email in to ownyourhealth@katiebrindle.com. And I look forward to seeing you next time.